It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Smoke and bring a dog into a restaurant, and you are right there with all the people from
Man,
Paris.
Man, can they smoke during meals.
Water, dart, appy, dart, salad, dart, main course, dart, dessert, dart.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Morgan Riley will join us here in a few minutes. We'll ask him if he's been keeping up with the NHL playoffs. In light of this Connor McDavid picture that's making the rounds online, we'll ask Riley, has he ever been involved in a really awkward picture request?
Playing in Toronto, you know he has.
It's probably from Joe from the Bridge.
Joe from the Bridge would absolutely do that.
He would be the guy.
Hold his arm, make it really awkward.
Like the partial handshake, for sure.
There's nothing worse than the guy who overextends the handshake.
Yeah, the hold on to the hand.
The hold on handshake guy is my arch nemesis.
Usually old people do that because when you try and get away, they pull you back in because they want to whisper to you
something. What's hold on handshake guy?
They don't let go of your hand.
A 20-second handshake. Like, stop it, man. I want to get out of here. And you're like, can you please stop?
And they say, let me tell you something. And they
fist bump. Do you always do fist bump.
But do you give the trailer hitch when they're handing out the...
Oh, yeah. I will trailer hitch right into their fingertips because I'm not doing that.
I've seen you hand out handshakes before.
Yeah, to people, what, at work or...
I don't know, in general, like when we're at the draft, I'm sure people are like yelling at you and you'll throw out a handshake.
Wrong.
Fake news?
Well, my understanding is that was a tough spot for Trump because he's like a germaphobe, right? He's a big germ freak.
If you're a germaphobe and you've got to be in the public eye shaking hands and kissing babies, it must be terrifying for you.
He has to do it. You cannot go into like... the mountainous areas of Pennsylvania where there's just the grittiest people on earth, and they're going to vote for you, and they extend their hand, and you go fist bump. You can't fist bump that guy if you're Trump.
Just wear gloves. What if you just wear gloves all the time?
That's even creepier, though. Glove guy? What are you doing walking around with gloves all the time?
Because you're a germaphobe, and you don't want whatever is under some creepazoid's fingernails touching your hand. That's basically what guaranteed Donald Trump or whoever is a germaphobe doesn't want you.
You think Trump's got fake skin. You're saying he's got fake skin that he pulls out when he's in a crowd.
All I'm saying is that if he's a germaphobe, he doesn't want to shake hands with a bunch of creepy people.
I'll bet you there's at least one germaphobe on the Maple Leafs.
You think?
I'll bet you there's at least one. Well, let's try to get to the bottom of this.
Okay.
Here is Morgan Riley. From the Maple Leafs. Will you out anyone on your team for being a germaphobe?
Being a germaphobe? I don't know. But there's certainly times when we're leaving the hotel on the road and there's people in the lobby waiting for autographs and like they're turning the page in like their card book or whatever and they're holding the pen in their mouth and then they hand you the pen like to do an autograph. And I think that's a tough one. But I don't know if we have any germaphobes on our team, at least none that I know of, so they're pretty secretive about it.
I don't even like the jersey that's all gross with, like, pizza stains on it and sweat, and you got to kind of put, like, you have to almost touch it to sign it, and it's like, God.
Yeah, it's a bit hit and miss with some guys. Like, people love having the old jerseys with, like, where there's just pen marks all over it and stuff, and I mean, for guys, they don't really want to touch that and then, I mean, go into a team meal and have to eat or something like that. So it's hit and miss, but I've certainly played with guys that will, like, carry Purell, like, in their suit pockets on the road.
Yeah, we've heard stories of that. Like, guys in
Brian
the
McCabe.
Car. Brian McCabe does that?
Yeah, can't go in his car until you touch the Purell.
Yeah. Jerome McGinley, you sneeze in his car, he rolls your window down for you.
Like, that's
it's
so just, awkward.
It's weird.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
What's the most awkward picture you've ever had to take?
Awkward picture that I'm not sure. There's ones where like there'll be a group of guys eating at a table and like the people won't like want to come in your booth and like sit right in the middle and then they make everyone like stand up so they can go in the middle and like right in the middle of your meal. That's a bit annoying and a bit awkward, but I mean you can't really top the McDavid picture. I think that's probably the best picture I've seen in a while. But yeah, I don't know. It's I mean, it's just a matter of how they catch you, whether it's at the airport or at dinner or whatever. It can be a little awkward, I guess.
Yeah, that McDavid picture, man, that is going to take over Twitter. It's going to take over Instagram. It's the greatest picture I've seen in a long,
time. Brian thinks it's the new crying Jordan face.
Oh, yeah, close to. I mean, me and Connor are pretty good friends, and I know him well enough that he would never complain about that to other people, but he's probably not all that pleased about that picture right now. I can tell you that.
My thing is, and this was my suggestion earlier, Morgan, if I'm working game ops in Anaheim, that old guy's face is all over that rink tonight, over the rink. How would you handle that if you were in a similar situation and you got to Anaheim and you saw even the two of them get flown down and they're standing like right behind the bench or something? How would you respond to that?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I think you just try. I mean, knowing his teammates would probably love it. I'm not sure how much he would like it, but, you know, it'd definitely be a tough one for him. I mean, it really depends how much he likes or dislikes that pitcher. I guess it could really get to him if he hates it that much.
With Maple Leaf defenseman Morgan Riley, have you been tracking the playoffs, or when you guys got knocked out, did you say see you later?
I definitely took a few days off, but I've gotten back into it. I've been watching this Pittsburgh series pretty closely, and obviously the past couple of games watching the Oilers. But no, it's been good. It's been really good hockey. It's been intense, and you know, I enjoy the playoffs. I enjoy watching the playoffs. But obviously, you know, a day or two after you get knocked out, it's pretty tough to turn it back on. But I mean, now that I'm a bit more removed, I like to watch the Eastern Conference games at least.
Has the face healed up? You were a roadmap there for a while.
Yeah, looking a bit better. Still got a lot of work to do, but it's getting a bit better.
Yeah, you were carved up pretty nice. You had the no teeth going, which is usually your move, right? You wear a mouth guard, I guess, during the game, right?
I do sometimes, but obviously not enough. I mean, I got a fake tooth that I can put in and out, and it's only in if I'm going to, you know, some kind of event or whatever. Other than that, you know, I pretty much just leave it. So, I mean, it's not the best look, but, I mean, it'll have to do for now.
I guess. Following in the footsteps of Ovechkin, because Ovi's had that no-tooth look going for a long, long time.
Yeah. I don't know if I can go that long. I think I'll have to get a replacement. But, I mean, he pulls it off. What can you say?
That's true, man.
He's also got the salt and pepper hair in his hair. He's got a bird's nest in the back. I don't know why he doesn't comb it or at least brush it down. When he does every interview, there's like a bird's nest in the back of his hair.
That's his look.
He loves it, too. What can you say?
Exactly, man. With Morgan Riley. So, obviously, this offseason, Leaf fans are really excited. You guys, I'm sure you picked up on it. This must have been an incredible ride. It was such a fun season, and you guys get to the playoffs, and you push Washington to six, and everyone's curious to find out what's going to happen. As a player yourself, how do you approach your team's offseason in terms of seeing what they're going to do with the draft, what they're going to do with free agency? Are you trying to get intel yourself, or you just let it play out? I mean, how do you deal with all the potential moving parts?
Well, I think as a player, I mean, you can only do what you can, you know, control. And I think that means, you know, having a great offseason in terms of training. I mean, living right and only really controlling what you can do. I mean, the team's going to do whatever it has to do in order to get better. And, you know, as players, we have to take responsibility. And, I mean, we got to start thinking about, you know, being ready for training camp and making sure we're in good shape, because this team's only going to get better and, you know, spots are going to be tougher to earn. And so as players, I mean, we, you know, treat our jobs very seriously in the offseason when it comes to training, nutrition, and, you know, being ready. And I think that, I mean, that's really all we can do. So come time for training camp, I would expect everybody to be in great shape and be ready to go, be motivated, because it's only getting harder from here. I mean, we're not going to, you know, take anybody by surprise next year with the way that we played down the stretch. So, you know, I think the guys are motivated. You know, they want to have big off seasons and, you know, have great years next year and just keep getting better. So, you know, you can only really do that and, you know, keep a positive attitude and just look forward to the future.
You just mentioned the training and the off season and the diet. Like, is the diet starting right now? I used to give myself a little bit more time, but when is it like salads and chicken only? That can't start right now.
No, I'm not quite at that stage yet, but I think next week is usually, I think when I will get back in the gym next week pretty hard. I mean, you have days where you go up to the gym and, you know, you kind of ride the bike and stretch and, you know, do some core, but now it's getting to that time where you're almost getting antsy, you want to get back in the gym, you want to start working out and skating and whatnot. And, I mean, I think that's good. And, I mean, I know that I'm not the only guy that feels that way. There's lots of guys on our team that are looking forward to training hard this off season, and, you know, kind of keeping tabs on one another. And so I think that's, you know, a great feeling to have. And but yeah, I think you're right. I think the diet is right around the corner for me, though. I can feel it coming. So
stay away from the mirror for the next week if you can. That's what I've been doing for about 33 years with Morgan Riley. Everyone talks about the expectation that the defense corps will be upgraded, and you're a huge part of it. You're the number one defenseman. You just got locked up long term. But that chatter is obviously coming from the outside, yet at the same time, Babcock, Lou, they've addressed it as well. Is that something you accept that is going to happen and has to happen, or does that bother you a little bit, all the focus on the back end?
Well, when your coach and when your GM, you know, talk about making the team better, it just makes you, you know, happy, makes you look forward to the future, and makes you curious to what they're going to do, or if in fact they're going to do anything. But like I said before, as players, when you hear that chatter, whether it's your coach and GM or whether it's the media or the fans or whatever, all we can do is work hard and just try to get better. And, you know, that all has to happen now during the offseason. Like I said, training hard and making sure that we have our bodies ready to go. But, you know, I mean, as players, we want our team to be as good as possible. And, like I said, we got to earn our spots. And, you know, if we add pieces, I mean, it just means that come training camp, we got to be that much more ready to go. And, you know, I think it's a good sign. I think that, you know, we have 20-plus players on that team that just want to get better and, you know, make the team better and, you know, have bright futures. And I think that the management and coaching staff feel the same way. So I think that's a good combination. I think the guys are excited.
Deion gets traded and the captaincy is vacant. A lot of it's made on the outside. In the dressing room, was it that big of a deal where there was no C, guys just wore A's? And moving forward, is it more of a focus for the guys in the room, or maybe it's something where the organization will bring it to your guys' attention when it's ready to put the C on somebody's jersey?
It's really not a big deal for the players in our room. I mean, we got 20 guys that, you know, approach each day the same way. We try to be the best teammates we can be to one another, try to be the best people we can be. And honestly, I think when you have a group that, you know, has that approach and that attitude, I think it makes it easier. I mean, to not have one guy at the forefront. And so, you know, that mentality comes right down from the coaching staff that, I mean, we all come into work every day with a good attitude. You know, we got a lot of good guys and we all, you know, really like each other. And I think that really goes a long way. So, moving forward, I mean, not to be a broken record, but, you know, you just try to be the best you can be. And, I mean, come training camp, you know, we're not sure what the team's going to want to do, but, you know, we're all very comfortable with one another. We're comfortable with what we had going on this year, and I think that we have a good leadership group moving forward. And I think that, you know, the most important, you know, aspect of this whole thing is that we just work hard and, you know, we help out one another. And, I mean, when that time comes, you know, we're going to be ready for it, and, you know, it's going to be a big step for us.
Well, it's only mid-May, but I can sense in this city that people are really waiting to see what's going to happen over the next couple of months and cannot wait for next September when you guys get back into town. So enjoy the off season. I'm sure we'll bug you again down the road, and thank you for doing this today.
Yeah, okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
There's Morgan Riley.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Yeah, good
he's
player.
A good guy.
We've interviewed him multiple times.
Yeah, he's Babs. Good player, good guy.
That was kind of a Babcock move.
Yeah, he's a terrific person, and he's a great player. So hopefully he has a good off season. I like that. I like that he's enjoying himself a little bit.
It does suck, though, when you don't make the playoff or you're eliminated kind of quickly and you're watching and then you're having to get back in the gym while it's still going on. It's like,
I just always tried to stay within striking distance of being in shape, and then when everything was over, that's when you ramp it up. Nowadays, though, when you look at the timeline, training camp used to be that first week of September. Now it's 2-3 weeks into September, so you actually have more time to get after it, or you can at least stretch out the beginning of your summer a little bit as far as dietary weight. Like, I used to get back, if I was done in April, I'd take the rest of April, and then May try to, you know, you have a, I'd shut down my times to just kind of on a weekend. You have a good week, work out, and then have a good weekend where you're out and boozing it up and having some fun.
Yeah.
And then you ramp that down as the season goes on, and pretty much by the time August rolls around, you go out maybe twice, three times in August as far as hurting your body.
I used to just put on a clinic on May 2 for a weekend, and then it would just be like once a week.
Yeah.
Well, these guys, a lot of them get into town mid-August. Right? They show up a month before.
There's a training camp before a training camp. In Carolina, we used to have a month-long training camp before a training camp.
Yeah.
It was like every day, track, weights, bike. And I think it got to a point where guys were like, we're kind of tired before camp even starts.
Yeah. And the guys who rolled in late were always known as kind of like, oh, they're not committed, but you stay home and train.
That's what I would want to do. I mean, if especially, you know, you're going to live somewhere for 8 or 9 months.
Right.
If you're from Toronto or whatever.
It always depended, though. If these young guys are dating somebody from the city and that, you want to go back and visit your girlfriend or whatever. Like,
you know what gets people into Toronto. Now, they would be here anyway, but TIFF really sets it off for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, you're on the carpet.
They're all here by TIFF.
Sure.
Because the parties are electric, and they have access that very few people have.
You're rolling with DiCaprio. That's what you're doing. De Niro, DiCaprio,
they all
the
show
big
up.
Ones.
They all party. They're all here. Well, as for the offseason with the Raptors, you guys see the reports are already out there that Kyle Lowry could be showing interest in returning to his hometown of Philadelphia.
And there's interest on their end, too.
You know that's coming because Colangelo's running the show there, and Colangelo was the one that traded for him, and he likes him. And quite frankly, that would put Philly into, I think, a playoff team. If Embiid stays healthy, if Ben Simmons stays healthy, even though he hasn't even played a game.
Nabauskas would be teammates with him.
Lowry setting him up for threes all over the floor. I think Kyle would push them into a playoff spot more than likely. But this is the time of year. It happened with Edwin. It happened last year with DeMar. The same thing. He's going back to the Lakers, his hometown. And guess what ended up happening? He re-signed long-term. And a lot of times this is the agent floating things out to put pressure on the Raptors, to cause a stir in the marketplace so people start freaking out.
Yeah.
Masai Ujiri is not going to fall for this trick. It's the oldest trick in the book.
Right.
I think he's got a pretty good read on how Kyle's feeling. And I think he knows, for the most part, what he wants to do in terms of Lowry's situation.
Right.
I don't think he's got everything else figured out. Like, it wouldn't shock me if they fired Dwayne Casey over the next month. Wouldn't shock me at all.
No.
Wouldn't shock me if you found out that they're really trying to peddle Jonas Valanciunas. Damari Carroll's an obvious, but as for the Lowry situation, I think he knows. I think he probably wants to bring him back. I think he more than likely will do whatever he can to make it happen, but takes two to tango.
Yeah.
Lowry's going to be a free agent. He can go wherever he wants. Raps can offer more years and more money. We've got Steve Phillips going to join us in about 50 minutes. We'll get Steve's take on this lineup card for the Blue Jays again tonight. Morales, the MRI, I believe it came back, and he's day-to-day, but he won't play tonight. So he's not going right on the DL, but he's not going to play tonight.
We also got to ask him about the Matt Harvey incident, how he would handle that, like how grossed out he would be to find out the actual facts.
Well, I'm sure he's dealt with that before.
That was a tough presser yesterday for Matt Harvey. To admit you were out till 4 in the morning, and then you go tee it up and you get gooned again?
And it sure felt like the team said you have to go out and admit to everything.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to go out and fall on the sword. You're the guy who caused all the problems. You're the guy who put us in this situation. We're not going to bail you out anymore. We're not going to save you.
I don't mind that. I like that.
Me too. I mean, the rules. I can't call into TSN and say, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it. It was the exact same situation. Our show starts at 4. Their game that day started at 4 p.m. And he was so soft, he couldn't work his way into the clubhouse.
That's the embarrassing part. Show up hammered and just sit there in the dugout.
You're not going to pitch. Everyone knows you're not going to pitch.
Like that.
Just make sure you're there by game time.
That's he's not even a millennial, is he?
Oh, he's a millennial. He's mid-20s. He's right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah, there you go.
He's a millennial. That's the problem.
He seems like an old-school millennial, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, he wants to be Jeter. He's 28. He wants to be Jeter. He wants to party. He wants to have the lifestyle. He wants to be in Page 6. He wants to have the girls.
Guess what? You got to back
it up. Jeter always showed up at the ballpark.
That's the thing, man.
Capitano.
Baseball is the biggest grind. And especially with the heat. Like, imagine being hung over and it's 35 degrees.
You have to switch back your avatar to Wade Boggs sitting there.
Yeah, we need it back.
That has to be your avatar again.
Or are you going to wait for June? Wait for the heat to really come, and then you got to go back to Boggsy.
I love my avatar right now, though. Doug Gilmore and Eddie Belfour, Hall of Fame night at the ACC.
It's pretty good.
And Eddie's in his bar gear with a leather jacket on.
Yeah, but even your background, your background has us down at the Sport Check with Dart Guy. You could probably switch to Wade Boggs in
Dart
there.
Guy is really moving and shaking right now. He's verified.
He's maximizing what he's...
He's at OHL games. I mean, doesn't the guy live in Sudbury?
Well, he's...
No, he lives in Kitchener. He's from Sudbury, but he lives in Kitchener. Yet, you're right. He's downtown more than anyone else.
He's maximizing. Why not?
Is that his new job, being Dart Guy?
Well, you got to deal with Nicorette, right? So he's working that out. But how are you Dart Guy if you're going to kick the habit of smoking cigarettes? He can't be Nicorette Guy.
He's face paint guy because he's putty. That's what he is. I like him, though.
He's a really good guy, but Jason, I'll admit I'm surprised that he's dragged out as much as he has parlayed this. Yeah, he's parlayed this into a pretty good gig. I mean, he's well known throughout the city.
Good for him.
He's everywhere.
Good for him.
Giveaways, tickets to games, sit with him, maybe not sit with him.
Do you think he's bypassing big lines?
Like if you walk up to a bar and say...
Do you think he rolls into Yorkville on a Friday night at midnight and says, forget these peasants, Dart Guy's here, let me in?
I don't know.
Face paint or without?
Face paint.
Yeah, he gets in. He gets in.
I think you're probably right. Yeah. I think Dart Guy has more leverage in the city than 99% of the city.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway. All right, Jerry's percentages is coming up. And my understanding is Jerry's got another opening remark. He's got a couple of words that he wants to say. So we'll hear what Jerry has to say, and then we'll see what he's got in store in terms of the hot takes this week. We'll get to Jerry next. Guy was at the Marley game last night.
Nice. The Marlies had a huge comeback last night. They were down 3-0, I believe, and won
5-3. They scored three goals in 33 seconds.
Awesome. They're still down 2-1 in that series, but maybe they're on the road to coming back here.
I think the guy that took down Freddie the Goat got suspended.
3 games. Yeah. That Jake Dochen. Which I saw the hit. I mean, it's grainy Al Jazeera network type of footage.
They always are. Isn't it always in the American
I don't know
hockey
why.
League?
It's like, yeah.
Why are they
so
still
grainy
in the 70s?
But I used to, when I was in player development, you could go on the AHL website, and I had a password. I could watch games clearly, and they were great. But I don't know if this was off of somebody's phone or whatever it was, but the hit on the Goat, it was late. And unfortunately, hopefully he's all right. Looks like he's out for 6 months. So, what do?
The Goat will be back.
Exactly.
I'm worried about the Goat, I have to be honest. I think this was his, like, this was his opportunity. I'm not going to write off his career, but
this is his window?
It felt as if they were going to give him every opportunity to be the fourth line center.
And for a big guy like that, that was just apparently starting to get a stride, for him to take another step back with a...
Not good. Has it been publicized, the injury?
The lower body injury, I don't know what it was.
Well, 6 month recovery, like,
that's serious.
That's something very serious.
Well, the same thing, I guess, happened with Roman Polak. Yeah. And I'm curious to find out what happens with Polak. Like, who's going to sign him? Is he going to have to wait until he's fully recovered? Is he going to have to show up and be a PTO and try out for a team?
I think somebody, nowadays with surgery and diagnosis, his agent can take that diagnosis and say, listen, he's going to be available for you October 1 or whatever. I think he gets a contract. He's a better player than that. I think he's valuable as far as a third-pairing guy.
I think he'll have to wait until the end of the summer, though. I'm not sure on July 1 someone's
signing him. You're right. It may not be immediately, but I think he gets a contract. He's a solid citizen and a pretty good player. Like, it's interesting to see how valuable you did see he was when he was injured.
Well, no one wanted Martin Marincin to play those minutes or right. Marchenko or whoever else had to come up. He played well.
That's my point.
Last 25, 30 games, Roman Polak really found his role and really he supplied a lot to that team. All right, Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by our friends at BPC. Yes. Best Portuguese Chicken. From two people to 300, let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. 942 the Queensway, bestpc.ca.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's Percentages.
No, keep the booing.
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
Yes, it is. As we know, every Wednesday at 5:30, Jerry calls in with a bunch of hot takes. And my understanding is he's got another opening statement this weekend or this week. Sometimes he has something to say out of the gate. Sometimes he doesn't. Let's see what is on his mind this week.
So, I hear you slobs actually completed the 10K. And in just under an hour and a half. Wow, what an amazing accomplishment. Running at the pace of a drunk reaching for a lamppost. I also heard Hayes' stretching routine would make a yoga instructor go into cardiac arrest. And the old dog's outfit would make a homeless guy throw up. You must be so proud. Anyway, unlike you idiots with the 10K, I don't have time to waste. So let's get to the hot takes.
That's a bit of a ruthless opening, that I would say, by old
Jerry. Was my outfit that bad?
It was the worst outfit I've ever seen at a public event.
Really? Yours, coming from a guy wearing what you were, mine must have been that bad.
Dude, I had Lululemon pants. I had an Under Armour, like, jumper on.
Yeah.
Nike shoes. You had thick, green, army track
pants.
Those
green sweats where you could have sprinted into a fire and come out unscathed.
Right. And the Blue Jay tarp with the Maple Leaf toque, it was quite a sight to place eyes on.
All right, let's get to Jerry.
Anyway, all right, let's see what Jerry's got in store this week.
The Overdrive Clowns will run another 10K next year.
100%. Because I'm doing it, and I've already had people saying I want to do it next year.
Oh, you're developing your own little crew to run the 10K.
You'll do it again next year.
And then leading up to it, he will be begging to drop out.
No, I'm gonna finish, start to finish jogging next year.
Do you think you'll beat your time?
Absolutely. It can't get worse.
It can get worse. It can get a lot worse. A year older, more carbs, more calories.
Dude, I saw the cop car coming up the rear of the race. I can't get worse. I was near the cop car. Once I saw the cop car, I sprinted for my life out of embarrassment.
It was inspiring?
Yes. Yeah. Motivating.
I'm saying 100% too because I want in on it. So I'm going to make sure that we do it. It'll be fun.
I'm not saying 100%, but I know this is what we always do. We talk the biggest game. And this is the problem that
our group does.
Our stupid loud mouths finally caught up to us because we actually had to go out there and do it this time. We say things all the time. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Yep. And then we never follow through. But this time, for some reason, we did.
We're doing it next year.
I think we're doing it.
I'll say 95% because if you guys are committed, I guess I get dragged into it. But I'm going to leave the door open to one of you having some common sense.
For injury or who knows, the way we're heading on this show, we may not have a show by next
year. We may not even be around for next year's 10K.
Yeah.
You never know. You can't predict the future. That's why I'll leave a 5% window.
There you go.
95%.
Erik Karlsson will win a Hart Trophy at some point in his career.
100%.
100% Karlsson will win a Hart.
I think he's put everybody on notice this year. I think if you calculate the voting, he'll end up third in Hart voting this year.
He's not even up for the Hart.
Huh?
He's not up for the Hart this year.
No.
It's Bobrovsky, McDavid, and Crosby.
Oh, okay, that he'll was a stupid fourth. Comment. No, I think a lot of people had him.
Yeah, he's in right top there. Five for sure, oh, and I know what you meant, because he will be hovering around there. He'll win. As of right now, is he your Conn Smythe winner?
Absolutely. Like, slam, there's no...
Like, I have four. I have Carlson leading the pack. I have whoever gets out of Edmonton and Anaheim, whether it's Draisaitl or Getzlaff. And who was my second that I'm drawing a blank on?
Pekka Rinne.
Yeah, Pekka Rinne. Sorry. Pekka Rinne in Nashville, who's been brilliant.
The thing is, who's the Caps?
There really hasn't been. My closest one would be Oshie. That would be my closest one. But I think the Caps, if they end up going on, somebody will separate from there. But it's kind of been by committee, because Burakovsky's come up a little bit. Kuznetsov has woken up a little bit. Ovi, statistically, has points again. Like,
Same thing with Malkin. Like, Malkin's got a ton of points.
You're right.
No one's talking about him for the Conn
Smythe. He had a bunch of points in that first series, and that's why. But you're right. How can Geno Malkin not get enough love either?
Well, as for Carlson winning the Hart, you've got McDavid just getting into the prime of his career. Crosby's not going anywhere. I don't think it's 100% Carlson's going to win a Hart.
No.
I think he'll more than likely, I could see him winning three or four more Norris trophies. I would say 100% he'll get nominated at some point. But win? I'll say 50%. I think he should be in consideration this year. You look at what this team is all about and how important he is.
Yep.
Guy's unbelievable. But 50% that he'll actually win a Hart at some point.
I'll do 28%. I think there's just a lot of names. It's basically Carlson versus the field. That's why I'm going lower.
At least one of the road teams will win Game 7 tonight.
God, I hope it's not Edmonton.
Well, Jerry's already pretty rattled that the New York Rangers are out on the account of the Ottawa Senators. That could not be more rattling. The Rangers, the New York market, knocked out for the small, dinky Canadian market. And I love it. But I kind of think Edmonton's going to win tonight.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, I got it. I guess I'm going to say 100%.
I think 100% too, because I think both road teams win tonight.
You think Pitt is going to get?
I think every one of my Jerry's is 100%.
Wow. I'll go with 102 because I believe I've got to stick with my picks that I picked Washington and Edmonton to get through. So Edmonton would be a road team.
Edmonton's been the better team. They've absolutely been the better team. And Washington, maybe I'm making too much of that game six, but that was
a beatdown.
That was a beatdown, and that was an awakening. Man, did they look good. But they're the ones with all the pressure on them.
Correct.
Pittsburgh's got their two cups. Pittsburgh's got the injury problems. They got their backup goalie in net. So we'll see what happens tonight.
The Raptors will re-sign Kyle Lowry to a long-term contract.
And get dummied by LeBron every single spring.
Not sure that last part was necessary, but it's not necessarily wrong either.
I think 40% chance they sign him.
40%? I'm higher than that. I'm in the majority that he comes back. I think Masai said it pretty much yesterday. He did open the door for Kyle wanting to walk. And maybe, you know, some people have suggested Kyle, part of the negotiations could be that he wants Dwayne Casey out. And if that happens, do they wilt to that kind of a demand?
You're creating a monster. They've already created the monster with Lowry. He's the superstar. He got traded here. He started becoming the guy.
Well, and he knows.
And I've seen it when you do that. You give the guy the power in an organization. It's just it turns into a monster, and it ain't good. So do whatever you want. If he says, I'm only coming if you fire the coach, which they might do anyway, I'm just saying you're creating a monster.
Where's your percentage?
75%.
Really?
75%.
I said this, and I'm going to maintain my stance. I don't think they changed the makeup of this team too much. So that being said, I will say 91%.
I think that's a pretty good number. Even though I went with 75, I'm leaving the door open a little bit more that maybe it's Kyle as opposed to Masai. I mean, that's really what I'm thinking. I think Masai is going to try to bring him back. I think he's pretty committed to that. But maybe Lowry decides.
Where's his mind at?
I can go home. I can maybe go to a team with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons that could be better than the Raptors in a year or two.
Hang out with Nabauskas,
get Nabil flown down there to Philly and be a part of the entourage.
It's true.
75% for me.
The Toronto Maple Leafs will work out a sign and trade for Ilya Kovalchuk. And Lou might just bury him in the minors as payback for his Jersey days.
0%. I fully support that. You're saying 0%?
0%.
I think it would be so funny if Lou somehow worked that out and then buried him just for payback. Just for material alone, I kind of want to see it. 0%. From what standpoint? That the Leafs won't do it or that Kovalchuk doesn't want to be here?
I think they have an age group kind of in place that they're kind of targeting, and I don't think a 34-year-old Ilya Kovalchuk, which I'm sure Lou knows all about and has some opinions or thoughts, it's just not happening. It's 0%.
Where does he fit?
Here's where he fits.
Oh, God.
Van Riemsdyk gets dealt, and then you've got a hole wide open on that top line.
So you're bringing in Ilya Kovalchuk to play with Tyler.
You argued with me the other day. You didn't want Ovi, but you want Kovalchuk.
Well,
there?
No, but I didn't want Ovi at $9.5 million. You're not paying that to Kovalchuk. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that could potentially be something they look at. Like, do we move on from JVR, and then all of a sudden you bring in this guy?
I say 0% too. I just think that the way that this team is built, they're not going to deviate from, I guess, that age group of core. It doesn't make sense to bring in a 34-year-old at this point when you have a 27-year-old winger that's pretty cost-effective for at least one more year.
It also doesn't address what they actually need.
Right.
They don't need more goal scorers.
They don't need a 50 or a 40 or a 30 goal scorer.
No.
It just doesn't make sense.
No, it really doesn't make sense. I'm going to leave the door open a little bit.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'll say 5%, just a little bit, just so that one of us is at least on record as
absolutely
potentially happening.
No chance.
5%.
All right.
At least one of the NBA's conference finals will go to a game 7.
So.
No chance. 0%.
Cleveland and Golden State. I'm with you, man. I don't think either's going to 7. I don't see it. I think one of them could go to 6, maybe.
Maybe.
But I wouldn't be shocked if both were sweeps.
Sweeps or 5, maybe?
Triple sweeps on both ends to the finals? That would be something else.
What would be more surprising to you? Both of them go to game 7 or both of them end up in sweeps?
7.
Yeah. Me too. That would be more shocking that these two teams lose 3 games.
Yeah.
Before they even get there.
All right.
So you're at 0%?
0%.
I'm at 0% too. I'm going to go along with that.
Brutal, Jerry's.
Yeah, Jerry's.
Well, it's a yes or no.
Jerry
basically
needs to get an idea.
Have an idea.
I mean, have an idea.
Yeah, Jerry.
I think Jerry thought
he was going to challenge us a little bit.
He was going to challenge us a little bit more, but
the question
just to
for
be
sure
that guy, I'm not going to go 0%. No. I'll say 5% again.
Okay.
What does 5% do for you?
All it does is say that I'm giving, I can win.
It wins if something happens.
If one of them goes to 7, I win at 5%, which is pathetic, but the truth.
Do we have one more or no?
No, I think that's it.
Well, can I throw in that the last one here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's a Jerry's percentage for you. In one of these games tonight, there will be a controversial call. Whether goaltender interference,
I think
offside.
75%.
I hope for their sake.
Every night there was a potential offside last night on Stone's goal.
Mm-hmm.
That was about a 3.5-4 minute delay,
which was horrible.
It's not controversial, but I don't know what would deem just goaltender interference.
Let's be honest,
or
goaltender
offside
interference. That any time it goes to review, there's a controversy one side or the other.
Right.
Okay, if it's close enough to be reviewed, someone's going to be upset.
So Jerry's percentage. There will be a controversial call in tonight's Game 7s.
75%.
I'll go 80% just to one-up him. 80%. Because I guess it could be something like a high stick that didn't get called, or a Bonino, like the fake dummy embellishment.
I'm surprised. P.K. Subban gets clipped for $2,000. We better see Nick Bonino get clipped for $2,000 here at some point when that dust settles,
I would think that's got to happen.
Why not?
You're right. So where were you guys at?
I'm 75. He's 80.
I'm going to go lower.
Really?
64%.
we're all kind of in the majority, though. I mean, which is a bad sign for the NHL, that people are bracing themselves for something that's going to bother them tonight. Something is going to lead to us saying, really? Like, that's actually happening? And I was thinking about the offside calls,
too. You know
what?
I've got to go higher. I apologize. I'm going higher.
Go ahead.
87%.
There you go. You take the lead.
I'm taking the lead.
Win.
I brought up the question. I have to take the lead.
Well, here's what I was thinking about today, too. And how, like, this is a league that prides itself on pace.
Right.
That is trying to generate as much offense as possible and trying to generate as many rushes and offensive opportunities as possible. And because of this garbage review at the blue line, you're going to get players who decide to stop.
Yeah.
Who aren't going to skate through the blue line anymore. Yeah. And it's going to lead to a lack of pace and a lack of potential offense where you don't want to be that guy that's a quarter inch offside, but it costs your team the goal. So if you're like, if you're on a 3-on-2,
yeah,
and you're thinking, okay, I'm the wide guy, I'm going to drive to the net, but you think it might be close, you're going to stop, and then what are you going to do? Sit there at the blue line.
Yeah, you'll let up, or you'll have to drag your foot, which slows your pace down. Like that's it.
That's why I hate the review.
If I'm the ref, I'm calling it every time.
Well, that's another thing. You don't want to be the ref either.
I'll just be like offside. That's what I saw.
And then it never gets reviewed, and it never gets to a point where there was a goal. So you're like, I'm not even going to let you score. I'm just going to call the offside.
I think in theory, their thought process was good. It's just the kinks early on in this whole sequence has really struggled, because you said this right now, like concussion protocol, fans are looking for definitive answers on what is goaltender interference, what isn't, because we have seen that. I don't want to see that tonight, especially if Edmonton gets a goaltender interference call that doesn't go their way tonight. They may, like Chiarelli may come flying out of the skybox.
Riots in the street, because they've already been stiffed a couple of times.
Right.
And this series should be over. The refs absolutely have cost them the series, in my opinion.
Well, they may win, so
they might
see where they're at.
But if they lose, you know they're bringing it back up. Steve Phillips in about 25 minutes on this Jays lineup going into another game tonight. They got smoked last night. The offense, who are you going to rely on? Morales is out of the lineup tonight. Who is really going to step up 1-9 for the Blue Jays? We'll get to Steve in about 25 minutes. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
I'm going to go with Guy Boucher, the head coach of the Sens. He's a different dude. He's very intense.
He's an intense individual.
But he's a grit grinder.
He better not come at me with the Gordon Bombay routine. If he pretends like he's coaching District 5 in the conference final, I will snap like the biggest underdog in the history of sports. How could we possibly do it? We're so fortunate to be here playing, and we're going to lose really badly. Dude, you've won 2 rounds. You're a good team. You deserve to be where you're at.
Can I go with either Connor McDavid or the couple? Who would be grit grinders in that? Would it be McDavid for fighting through that stranglehold?
Put them all in there. The McDavid picture, the McDavid face, the old couple.
Or how about the lady, the girl who took the picture and tweeted it out? Because that's gotten viral.
Right. She's the hero we didn't realize we needed.
Yeah, because she said, this is my friend's parents.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Exactly.
And that young lady is the pride and joy of Edmonton.
Yes. She's gone viral.
All right, good call. I'll go with Erik Karlsson. I mean, let's be honest. Someone had to do it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Grit grinding. He's playing with a broken foot. He was money last night.
So good. Every time he steps on the ice, there's an unbelievable play happening.
I agree.
Well, we'll see what happens tonight. We'll keep teeing up Game 7s in Washington and in Anaheim. I've got a poll question up asking people what they're more intrigued by, which
game.
Are
you still getting chirped for it?
Yeah, I'm still getting chirps. Why can't it be both? How about both? I don't know. It's a stupid Twitter poll question. Pick one.
Right.
Which one? We'll update you, and we'll catch up with Steve Phillips in about 20 minutes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.